It's episode 428 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. You're listening to a podcast that's for you if you play Magic the Gathering. Whether you're getting super excited for Strixhaven School of Mages coming out in just a couple of weeks, or you're like, wait, I'm still getting used to call time. We are here for you.
And I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And specifically this episode, we are dealing with both of those things because, yeah, we're going to say goodbye to call time and hello to Strixhaven.
That's right. We'll do a little final wrap up on the call time story, which we haven't heard the end of yet. How we felt at the end about this draft format.
Yeah.
And then we'll look ahead to what's happening in Strixhaven.
Yeah, we've got a lot of cool inside info on how Strixhaven was developed and kind of a look closer at the colleges in Strixhaven. So if you're like, what will I do when I draft this set coming up the pre-release a couple weekends from now? We've got clues based on how the colleges are interacting and how they were developed to let you know what you should be doing when you draft them. And also just some cool stories and insights from the development process.
Ooh, nice.
Before we talk about any of that, the first thing we have to do is thank people who support our show and all of our work on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
That's right. And big special thank yous to Becca, Greg, and Travis,
yay,
who became patrons in the past week. Thank you all so, so much for continuing to support the work that we do here at Good Luck High Five.
Yeah, and that Becca is Becca Scott of Magic Coverage, another geeky thing. So if you want to be cool like her, no big deal.
That's right.
She supports our show.
So we're how just about
saying.
That?
We're just saying.
How about that?
Yeah, you can become a member for as little as a buck a month, whatever you want to spare to support creators you love, to give back to the content and help other people enjoy the show too, because everything goes into making sure the show happens every single week coming out of your cat's mouth and just hopefully inspiring your joy for the game of Magic the Gathering.
I just had a really dumb thought.
What was it?
Okay, if you don't have a cat and you have a dog, I was like, would it come out of your dog's mouth? And I was like, no, your dog would fart the podcast.
Yes, that is the Good Luck High Five way. It's either broadcast, you know, normally just like through your, you know, phone or whatever, or through your cat's mouth. Option three, out your dog's butt.
Yes, specifically farting.
Specifically a fart. Yep, 100%. Yeah, and thank you to everybody who sends us pictures of their cats broadcasting our show. We do love it. You do not need to send us photos of your dog broadcasting it for obvious reasons. Thank you.
Thank you as well to sponsor Card Kingdom, cardkingdom.com/GLHF, a great place to go. You can already pre-order Strixhaven over there,
you
will get it as soon as is humanly possible.
Do you want to play with your friends on Spell Table, do your own pre-release because you can't go into stores?
Of course you do.
Get a box from Card Kingdom, crack it open, take some packs for you. You could even split it with your friends.
That's right.
You know, go over, drive it to their house, leave the packs in their mailbox, and then play some cool pre-release action on Spell Table.
It'll be such a good time, and Card Kingdom is just an excellent place to get all that stuff because they're wonderful people.
Yeah,
they really do just put so much care and work into making sure everyone has all the stuff that they need to play the game that they love.
Yeah, and say Good Luck High Five, they'll give you a token or a sticker in your order. Make sure to use our affiliate link, cardkingdom.com/GLHF, for anything that you buy. And people often tweet at us when they buy from Card Kingdom too, which I think is really cool. We want to know what you're getting for your magic.
Oh, yeah, we do.
For sure. Buy it and get some sleeves. Let's say goodbye to call time.
That's right. So, Maria, we are behind on story time.
Yes.
There were still three more episodes left.
Wow.
In the call time story. And I'm bringing you the whole thing.
Wow. A story time with Megan in what's the word I'm looking for?
Condensed.
Condensed.
I don't know.
Like condensed abridged soup.
Abridged is the book version of what we're talking about.
And condensed is the soup version.
It's the soup version. So whichever way you want it.
Okay, great. What's happening? Last time, Kaya was there being like, what's going on?
That's right. And she had just met Tyvar Kell, who's just like a real big bragger.
Hold up. Pause.
Yes.
We're going to talk about draft in a second. But we talk about cards that we have never seen or never played with. Uh-huh. Does this card exist? Mine is still Tyvar Kell.
Oh, man. I drafted a Tyvar. But then green got cut really hard and I didn't get to play it.
What?
Because I didn't end up in green at all.
Rude.
I know.
They should have known you opened a Tyvar.
So I've never played it. I've never had it played against me.
No, I've literally never seen it and never opened it.
On the battlefield. I've never seen it on the battlefield.
It doesn't exist. It
doesn't exist.
Tyvar Kell, you're fake.
Prove us wrong.
All right, continue.
Anyways, so Tyvar, right, Kaya was having some trouble fighting some trolls the size of hills. And Tyvar Kell came and like turned them into stone and was like, I'm very cool. And you're like, actually, you're insufferable.
Yes, I remember this.
Yes. Anyways, and then they had been chasing Tybalt, and Tybalt cuts a hole to the demon realm, Immersturm, and disappears. And so we learn at this point, Tybalt is there. And Tybalt has been not instructed, but like basically someone was like, hey, you should go to Kaldheim and create an enormous distraction. And we don't know who sent him, but it's the Phyrexians. It's definitely some Phyrexian,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
Who was like, go cause a distraction on Kaldheim. And Tybalt was like, I wanted to go cause chaos on Kaldheim anyway, so I guess I'm going to do it. But let's be clear, it's only because I wanted to. He really has that tone about everything that he does.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's only because I wanted to. So he goes, he meets Valky, God of Lies, and he like tricks Valky and then locks him in the dungeon of Carfel, which is the and like King Narfi's dungeon, essentially.
Sure,
And pretends to be him. And then he goes to Cole the Forgemaster, who's the dwarf.
Yep.
Because it turns out that Halvar, God of Battle, had asked Cole to make him a Tyrite sword. Oh. And Tyrite is the hardened sap of the world tree.
Okay.
And there's like, Cole is the only person who can work with it. And Halvar was like, make me this. And Cole was like, because I'm great, I can. And so Cole makes Halvar this Tyrite sword. I hope
that's under his like sign, you know, like swordsmith. Because I'm great, I can. That's my motto. You got some sap, I got a hammer.
Exactly. And so Tybalt finds out about it and goes to Cole and then just like once the sword is done, murders Cole. Rest in peace.
I was going to say, why didn't he kill Valky? And then maybe he couldn't kill a god.
Because it's a god. Yeah. I don't know. He just like locked him in a dungeon.
Oh, okay. So he's straight up murdering here.
Straight up murdered Cole and took the Tyrite sword, which is also Sword of the Realms.
Wow.
Yep. Anyways, I also thought it was just like, it's very cool. It's like the hardened sap of the world tree,
yeah,
right?
It's I not
think like
that's
a
cool.
metal or anything, which is why it's like all those many colors of the cosmos.
Oh, I love it.
And so then we get like the little bit of backstory about how Tybalt's been going around to the different realms.
Yep.
Because what the Tyrite sword can do is it can cut that hole between realms.
Very handy.
Yes, very handy. So he's just easily traveling around being like, elves, get ready for battle, right? He like hits everybody. He like plays everybody off of each
hey,
other.
Hey, elves, did you hear the trolls said that you smell like stinkum bugs?
Yes, that's basically what he's doing. Because it turns out, and this becomes relevant later, like Tybalt's magic is a lot about like taking what people already feel or think negatively and like using that to amplify it and make use it to disguise his own messaging.
Oh,
I
see.
So he can essentially like work in people's minds by exploiting their fears and then using it to like conduct his own voice and wants into their heads.
Hashtag 2020.
Very spooky. Very cool. Anyway, so he's going around. It turns out he can do it to all the realms except the Valkyries.
Oh.
And he's just because they're like above that stuff.
Literally.
They really are. And so what he does instead is he just cuts a hole between them and the like the space between the cosmos, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then just sets Koma Cosmos Serpent on them to eat them up.
And everybody exactly. knows you can't kill Koma no matter how hard you try.
You cannot kill Koma. So Koma's just like in Starnheim with the Valkyries eating angels for breakfast, which is real rough and kind of sad to think about.
That's how I feel every time someone plays Koma against me.
Yeah, it just feels like Koma's out there eating angels for breakfast.
Sigh.
Anyways. Sigh. So we jump back to present day and Tyvar and Kaya follow Tybalt to Immersturm and they fight a bunch of demons there. And it turns out that even though Tyvar is insufferable, his one good quality is that even though he's like, I'm awesome, when someone else does something awesome, he's also like, you're awesome and everybody should know your story also. So like Kaya kills two demons and he's like, they're going to tell this story forever.
Nice.
And Kaya's like, you're weird, kid, but okay.
Tyvar is the best wingman.
Exactly, but also a self-hype man. Yeah. Tyvar is just about hype for everybody who deserves it.
Tyvar will steal your girl, but then be like, this person was dating her before I was. So like, aren't they really
They're
great?
They're also great. Exactly. And you're like, weird, weird vibes, dude.
Okay. Weird flex.
Exactly. And Kai is like, hey, you're a planeswalker. You can go to all these other planes. And Tyvar is like, pass. He's like, I want to stay in my world and make sure people tell badass stories about me.
All right, Tyvar.
And Kaya's like, okay. Anyways, they go and they find Tybalt. Tybalt starts working his magic in Kaya's mind because she has all of her like doubts about herself of like, anytime things get tough, I always run away.
I kill a lot of people.
And so in her head, she's like, you should just leave. Like, you're losing this battle. It doesn't matter. Just run away. It's what you always do. And then she realizes that that's just Tybalt exploiting her weaknesses and her self-doubts.
Wow.
And then it turns out Tyvar is immune because he doesn't have any self-doubts.
Tybalt, you didn't count on that, did you?
So Tyvar has like got Tybalt with his back against a wall, but then Tybalt like cuts a hole between all the realms, essentially just like slaps all of Kaldheim's realms together. By cutting a huge gash across the sky with the Sword of the Realms. And then Planes walks away.
Bye.
And then like, so we see everybody's converging. All of the realms are converging.
What is that called? There's a word for it,
Doomscar.
Right? The Doomscar.
The Doomscar is happening. Tybalt made it happen. And then Kaya's like, we got to get out of here. This war is going to be devastating. There's nothing we can do. And Tyvar is like, I'm not going to run away. And Kaya's like, fine, I guess I'm not running away either. You're insufferable.
Oh, cute.
Anyways, we also meet Varagoth, who it turns out is such a big, bad, spooky demon that they had locked him away in Immersturm. Ooh. Like, he's part of why he had been, like, exiled there. And he's spooky.
Is he a card?
Yeah, Varagoth, Blood Sky Sire.
Oh, what does that card do?
2 and a black for a 3/2 death touch with 1 and a black where you can tutor if you are boasting.
That's right.
Anyways, he big and spooky.
Yes.
So they go back to Bredegarde and meet some of like, they meet like Arnie and Inga and all those people. And they're like, oh, the person who can fix this is Halvar. We have to get him the Sword of the Realms, which Kaya and them now have. And then there's like a huge, basically one whole chapter of this is just like, it essentially is like Helm's Deep. It just goes on forever and you don't really know what's happening, if I'm being super honest.
Wow.
And there's a bunch of zombies from Carfell are coming and fighting, and then like the trolls are fighting, and then there's like the humans and the elves, and they finally re-ally because they had been against each other, but now they're for each other.
Big war.
Yeah, because Tyvar, who is Prince of the Elves, talks to his brother Harald, who is King of the Elves, and is like, Tybalt was just messing with all of us. So they set it right. There's a bunch of fighting. Koma comes back and then goes to Carfell. Koma apparently is like, a realm full of undead snacks forever? I can get in on this. And goes to Carfell. I don't know.
Okay.
The Valkyries come, and they also help turn the tide of the battle. That's where we only for like the hottest second ever in the main storyline meet Nico.
Oh.
Who apparently was chilling with the Valkyries, who are like, this person's so cool.
Weird.
Anyways, and right, drop Nico into the battle, and Nico like throws shards, which turn other things into like ice, and then
Nico's
shatter. Anyways, Nico's here for a hot second. They all battle. Kaya kills Varagoth. Halvar uses the sword to like reseal the planes or reseal everything separately and end the Doomscar. And Tyvar is like, oh, I do want to learn how to planeswalk because I want to save places the way you helped save this one, Kaya. Which is really
Tyvar.
Nice. And then Kaya's like, yeah, okay. And then Nico is like, is there a place called Theros? And Kaya is like, how did I get stuck with another planeswalker who doesn't know what planeswalking is? So Kaya's like, okay, all of you planeswalker children who know nothing about planeswalking, I guess I'm here to now tell you all about it.
Kaya's planeswalking school.
Exactly.
That's so cute.
And so, yeah, and then everything is okay, except at the very end, it's like a little epilogue where Asika is like, why am I dying? And Asika is like there dying, and it's because Vorinclex has her. And it turns out that Asika made the gods by brewing like a potion from the sap of the world tree.
Okay.
That helped make them immortal.
Okay.
And so Vorinclex is killing Asika and then takes some of the sap from the world tree and then leaves through like some kind of strange portal. And you hear another voice being like, "Thank you, Vorinclex. Like, we're getting ever closer to perfection." So the whole thing was a distraction by the Phyrexians so that Vorinclex could go to the world tree and steal the sap to help the Phyrexians probably make whatever new creepy Phyrexian oil they're making.
Who likes perfection in the Phyrexians?
That's what they're all about.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's like the Phyrexian jam.
Who's the leader?
It's probably, what's his face?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That one person we're both thinking of.
Yep, that guy.
What's his name?
You know, he has black hair.
Yes.
And he, like, is wearing, like, a Batman suit.
Yep, we all know him.
With a red window behind him.
What is his name?
Him.
That one. What's his name?
I don't know.
What's his name?
I don't know. He's Urza's brother, right? Or, you know, or like, friend?
Or was like, no, I don't know. Or is
Mishra.
Like, no, that's not who I'm thinking of.
Oh.
I'm thinking of the other one. Come on.
We're going to have to look this up.
All right. We'll be back. Anyways, point is, okay, I will say one thing about the story, though, is that I do think that it would, I understand why for, you know, the overall arc of the multiverse, they didn't do this right. Tyvar Kell is a new character.
Yeah.
They want him to be around. He's an elf planeswalker and stuff like that. There was a part of it where
that you,
like,
wanted him to die.
Where Kaya was like, okay, I'm taking the sword to Halvar. And Tyvar was like, I'll hold off Varagoth, who's come back. And I was like, there was, right, the whole thing about Tyvar was that he was so excited about, right, like he had, yeah, felt like he had this whole future. And was so bold and boastful and somehow yet still like naive and kind of winning about,
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
That I think that it would have been a heck of like a story sucker punch to have Tyvar die.
I'm here for it.
Like, I think that that would have been
A plus.
A really,
let's go,
like, beautiful and brutal story move. I'll be honest.
We are. I mean, like, we advocate for brutal story moves in magic all the, yes, time here on this show. And yeah, 100%. If there's no actual stakes in your world, does your world have any stakes?
Exactly, right? And so for the most, like, yeah, everyone at the end of it was like alive still.
And you're like, okay.
And I was like, listen, Tyvar had exactly like the kind of, right, where you were like, yeah, waiting for him to be redeemed, and he does get redeemed, and then right as he's redeemed, you just.
I mean, this is the same reason Harrison Ford wanted Han Solo to die.
Oh, yeah, man.
And it's like, makes total sense. Like, yeah, of course, like, I'm kind of a jerk, and then I get my character gets redeemed.
Gets redeemed.
And then I die.
And then, yeah, axe him.
Yeah. So, like,
all about it.
Yeah, I would have been about that too. But, you know, what are you going to do? Yeah, that's a good point.
So obviously there's Elish Norn, yeah, who's like one of the big ones. But like, Yawgmoth!
Yawgmoth.
Oh, there we go. God, thank goodness.
Ooh, Yawgmoth, yes.
That's what we were both thinking of, yes, the whole time.
It was Yawgmoth.
Okay, Yawgmoth.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think
Great.
It is.
Okay. So looking back at Call Time, which has only been here for a hot second, it feels like.
I know. I think the spring set always just kind of goes so quick.
Yeah, that's
it
true.
It feels like.
But what are our takeaways from Call Time? How do we feel about it?
I really enjoyed it as a set.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Specifically Limited, I think, is one of my favorite sets to draft in recent memory.
Yeah. I will say, I personally don't think that I liked it as much as...
You loved
Zendikar Rising. Yeah. I don't think... For me, it did not achieve... as much as Zendikar Rising did as a draft format, but it was still exceptionally fun.
I think one of the reasons I loved it so much was because of the sealed arena open.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Which happened because of it. And I practiced way more sealed than I normally would. And like, to a point, that was pretty absurd, but I had the best time doing it. It was so fun to try and figure out the sealed puzzle in Call Time,
yeah,
and what you should be doing. And the answer is like all the most powerful things, yeah, you can possibly do, which is also very fun to do in sealed, right?
Yeah. And I will say, I do love a good set where you can draft many colors.
Yes.
Anything that has like a regular inclusion of some dual lands, I'm
A plus.
Into.
And the snow theme, huge fans of the, yeah, snow theme. Drafting the snow deck was, of course, busted.
So good.
And
Maria,
so fun.
I was telling you about, but I finally did it towards the very end of this format. I drafted the busted Giants deck.
You did it.
It was so good. The key was I had two copies of Invasion of the Giants, which is the blue-red saga.
Great.
And then I also had two copies of Cinderheart Giant. And let me tell you, if you just hold Invasion and cast it on three, you can cast your Cinderheart on five, and that's the most broken thing. It's here's a 7/6 that when it dies will kill another thing.
Great.
Like, it's always a 2-for-1. Invasion is a very good card.
Love Invasion.
It's so good. I had three copies of the 4/4 Kraven Hulk.
Ah, yeah.
Which, do you know what? When you have multiples of them, it's okay.
Beast.
It can block because there's two of them. So, anyways.
And also, they got to deal with it. It's 4/4.
Exactly.
Ignore it forever.
So, it was just like a bunch of like just real big creatures that I made cheaper with Invasion of the Giants. Really enjoyed it. Great time.
I love the Giants deck.
I was so happy because I had tried many times to draft it and had always just kind of ended up a little bit short. And this one was it was a 7-0 perfection.
I mean, when you get the perfect Giants deck, there is nothing that can beat it.
It was amazing.
It's just incredible.
It was 7-0 and nothing felt close.
No.
It was never close. There were never games where I was like, oh no, I might lose this. Every time I was like, rip you, opponent.
Yeah. Sucks to be you, I guess. Yeah.
I was very happy because I feel like that was one thing about this format that made it not quite as stellar for me was that it felt like there were a lot of cool promises about kinds of decks that you could build that were sometimes not as like cool in the execution.
I think the black white deck was the worst.
Exactly. Right.
Unfortunately.
Like, for me, what this set needed to be a better draft set was that I should have been able to draft a really cool Angels deck.
Oh gosh. I mean, don't get me started.
But it wasn't really a thing.
You couldn't really, there just weren't enough.
Exactly. There wasn't really like the blue black like the Draugr deck. Like
that wasn't a thing.
Even Giants, like it was really right. I tried to do it multiple times and only one did I ever feel like wildly successful about it.
Red green trolls.
Yeah.
No, not really. So I guess the tribal themes were a little lacking. The black white one, besides being Angels, also wanted to be the draw play two spells deck.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Which is a really cool idea, but unfortunately the payoffs weren't strong enough for it to be desirable, which I think is going to be interesting because in Strixhaven, spoiler alert, black white is about playing multiple spells a turn. Mm-hmm. So we'll see if perhaps Strixhaven can be a successful version of the mechanic that Call Time tried to be.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting to me.
So as much as I did have like a ton of fun drafting it, because like I said, I love anything where you can go wild with your colors.
Yes, and you can
just pick up a bunch. Exactly, like Path to the World Tree decks.
A plus.
Just
love
a
that card.
Joy.
Yeah.
To draft, but for me, it wasn't quite like a stellar draft format, just because it made some promises that I felt like I didn't deliver on.
Gosh, I hope we get a sealed open for Strixhaven.
Oh, I bet. I feel like you can't do it for one set, then not do it for the next one.
Oh, it was so fun. Again. Yeah. I think Call Time, I liked it more than you did as far as draft goes. As far as standard goes, impactful? No, not really.
Yeah, we had Goldspan Dragon.
Goldspan Dragon.
Showdown of the Skulls.
Showdown of the Skulls is probably the biggest thing that happened.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Because we didn't really do it, like Rogues didn't do anything.
Rogues, the same deck as it's always been.
Same deck.
We
did, like, I'm trying to think, was there any, like, it made some, Alrun's Epiphany.
Yeah, we can make an argument for that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, Emergent Ultimatum, I guess it did become, right, Emergent Ultimatum deck
became
came around.
Around?
Because of
Emergent?
You needed Tybalt.
Sure.
And Alrun's Epiphany and Vorinclex were, like, some of, like, the key things that you grabbed.
We didn't, however, see too many brand new archetypes, at least that are very good in standard. We saw some, you know, sillier stuff like the, you know, with Tybalt and whatever, you can mess around, but like in historic. But this goes with what I've been saying on the show. I think I said it last week or whatever, where I'm like, I believe they might be pumping the brakes after Oko and power level. And so we might have to go through a few things before rotation in the fall where we're standards not getting as heavily impacted by these sets.
Yeah.
That's just a hypothesis.
But think it's a solid hypothesis.
But, you know, call time, flavorful, A plus.
Yeah.
Really good. Cool. We'll probably go back here.
I liked all of the, like, the characters that we got to know, like, right? Always love Morikaya. Oh, I forgot to tell you a really cool thing about the story, which is that those two the little hand axes that Kaya has.
Yeah.
Tyvar, like, she loses her daggers at some point, I think in the fight with the trolls. And Tyvar, like, takes some metal and Immersturm and grows her a new pair of, like, grows those axes. Them. Like, cool. Convinces the metal to grow.
Nice.
He's like a transmuter and also, so that was that's cool. Really awesome. I can't believe I forgot that. Also, Kaya is just very cool.
Kaya is cool.
Like, her ability.
She's a ghost assassin.
Yes, and her ability to, like, make parts of herself and other people, if need be, like, insubstantial. Nice. Very cool.
Nice.
Anyways, I forgot. I'm glad I remembered that part, because that part was very cool. He just, like, straight up, like, planted some metal and he was like, Immersturm, nothing grows. And so I thought things here would want to grow. And sure enough, metal grows into a pair of axes.
Wow. Great stuff. This is also something to think about. We're now fully in deep to the cycle where we don't do three sets from one plane.
Yeah, we only do the one.
We're ping-ponging around like a ping-pong ball here.
Yeah.
Call time into Strixhaven, into D&D. Boing, 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 boing.
I don't mind it.
Yeah, how are we feeling about it?
I like it.
I like it too.
I think that the sets have been better. Like, stuff feels fresh every time.
Really exciting.
Which is really cool.
Yeah. So, can you imagine? We're like, oh, well, we have two more call time sets. I'd be like, okay.
I'd be like, why?
But also, now I'm like, Strixhaven new stuff. Oh, it's so cool. So, like, big thumbs up to this decision from Wizards of the Coast. I think it's really good.
Sick. Speaking of.
Yes.
Strixhaven.
Here we come. All right. So Strixhaven now fully previewed, by the way.
Yeah.
Which is about a week earlier than it has been in the past.
Wild.
Which is really weird. I don't know why that happened, but it's fully previewed. So you can see the entire thing. We love Scryfall. Check them out. Scryfall.com. They've got the whole set laid out there for you. So you can look at it. Pre-release is happening this weekend with Loading Ready Run. So check that out on Twitch starting at Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific.
Yeah.
The pre-release is happening next weekend. There's the big streamer event on Wednesday, which we'll be doing. So you can check that out. See the set played for the first time on Arena, live on Arena on Thursday.
Yeah.
So, like, here it is, everybody. Our Judge Rob episode is next week.
It's here.
By the way, if you have a Judge Rob question, tweet at us at GLHFMagic with the hashtag Judge Rob.
Yeah.
If you have a question.
Get those questions in.
Yeah. My gosh.
Yeah. So, like, let's start with a little overview.
Because
there's so much stuff about Strixhaven, so we'll break it up some.
Okay, great.
But I thought we could talk about, they have, like, the Planeswalker's Guide to Strixhaven up. And so we know that Strixhaven was founded 700 years ago by 5 dragons.
Wow.
Yeah, who are still around, BT dubs, because they're dragons.
Because they're elder.
Exactly. And I thought that this is cool. Like, they phrase it specifically of each college is focused on the, quote, clashing of two opposing mana colors.
Yeah.
And so students when they come in for the first year, like, aren't in any of the colleges.
Got They're just
the
kind generals. Of
in the Blasic. Blasic? The basic?
What two words did you combine?
I don't know.
Basic and...
Basic?
Vlasic pickle. I just want some Blasics.
Basic.
Just your
color.
Basic.
I was thinking of colorless and how there's like some of the colorless spells in this, right? That are like Introduction to lessons, Annihilation and stuff like that. The lessons that are, that don't have a color.
These are Blasic studies when you come on in to school.
And then eventually they choose one of the colleges.
Yes.
And I love that they mentioned that they have each student, once you choose a college, you have 2 advisors, and each advisor represents one of the mana colors, and so they might give you conflicting advice.
Oh,
right? So if
I
you
see.
Were in Quandrix, and you're like, your green aligned advisor might be like, you should focus more on like a creature, like big creatures, and like cultivating that magic.
Yeah.
Whereas the blue one might be like, oh, you need to focus more on like crafting illusions and stuff
like that. Just
like
real college.
Yeah, you know how you always
never
have
get
two
a
advisors.
Straight answer from anybody.
Giving you competing advice all the time.
Did you know that I took a course called World Religions for my religion credit, which I needed to have to graduate.
Uh-huh.
But let me tell you this fun fact.
What?
World Religions did not count for religion credit.
What?
Now that I'm also thinking about it,
that's absurd.
Why do I need a religion credit? Anyway.
Also, yes, that's weird.
I don't know why. Maybe I'm thinking of history. Maybe it was history of world religions or something, and I needed that history. No, I took a different history class. Whatever. It was some. Anyway, it was something like that, and it didn't fit. And I was like, what?
Yeah, I'd be mad.
Anyway, that's just one example. I mean, one advisor telling me one thing, and another telling me another.
Great so example.
I had to take another religious class.
Ugh.
Yep.
I would have been so mad.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like, it's literally called world religions. And it was probably like you could either take religions X, Y, or Z or something. I don't remember what from this bucket. And so I was like, well, this fills this. This should be interesting. No, it was also one of those classes where they give you the test and literally three of the five answers could be correct if you thought about it enough. You know what I mean?
Classic.
One of those. And I was like, I hate this with every fiber of my being.
Give me a right answer and a wrong answer.
And then I took New Testament, which ended up being one of my favorite classes I ever took in college. So that, you know, happy accident, but still. Strixhaven problems.
Strixhaven problems. So we also know about the Biblioplex, which we already knew a little bit about because it's where the mystical archive is housed. It's said to contain a copy of every spell ever created.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think it's cool. At the center of it is the Hall of Oracles, which has like a bunch of monuments, and then the Strixhaven Snarl, which is just like a pure mana.
Wow, what just happens if you touch
it? Exactly. I'm sure something.
Hey, I dare you to go touch this new Strixhaven Snarl.
Oh, man. And then they also, of course, they have to have their own sport. You always have to have, I guess you have to have a magic sport to your magic college. God forbid.
It's not Quidditch!
God forbid you have a university that doesn't have a sport and only focuses on other things.
I also never went to a sporting event in my college, ever.
I went to one football game.
Yeah,
sure.
I just realized that I'm like, oh, I just literally never went to anything.
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh, man. The UT women's volleyball team was very good while I was there, to be fair.
Like, bump set spike.
Yeah. Anyways, there's a game called Mage Tower that all the colleges compete in, which just seems very dumb.
How do you play it? What are the rules?
But very silly. It seems classically, right? Like a bunch of people were just like, I guess we have to have a sport. So each of like the two teams each have five mages plus a small mascot. One of like their little mascot creatures bring.
We're going to talk about their creature tokens. Yeah,
exactly. It goes at the top of the mage tower, and you get a point if you steal the other team's mascot and bring it back to you.
Capture the mascot.
Exactly. It's like capture the mascot, which I do think is actually very cute.
I would love to play
this. To be fair, it's a very cute game. They can do any kinds of magic except stuff that hurts people or destroys property.
Yikes.
So, anyways, there you go.
Do you ever play Capture the Flag back in the day?
I don't remember.
Oh, really?
Ever playing Capture the Flag.
I'm thinking about it in gym when we had little belts that we wore.
Oh, with
colors attached to them, red or blue, and you could rip them off with Velcro.
Yeah.
And that meant you had to go to the jail.
Yeah.
And you couldn't play anymore until somebody freed you from jail. And all I wanted to do was free my teammates from jail. I didn't care about that flag. I didn't try and capture it. All I wanted to do was be a weird spy who somehow got over to the other side in jail, like by stealing somebody else's belt and pretending I was on the other team. And then it's freeing my compatriots. I was not playing. I was not playing the same game as everybody else.
Arguably, you were actually contributing overall because you were like putting more people back on the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I want to play it as an adult. I think it would be fun.
Yeah. So that's just like a little overview of the university as a whole. But one thing that I do want to point out that many people have like speculated about.
Okay.
Which is that, right, there's, it all takes place on the plane Arcanum or whatever. Anyways.
Arcadia? Was that it?
I don't remember. Anyways, so there's two huge continents, the northern continent of Orithia, which is where Strixhaven is, and a, quote, mysterious southern continent called Galathul.
I knew it!
And if we don't someday get, like, the dark version of Strixhaven, like evil Strixhaven that's in Galathul, I don't even know what's happening.
You can all say that you heard it here first.
Yes.
We predicted it. episodes ago.
And I also think that, right, it's further substantiated by the fact that there's these creatures known as the Orik, O-R-I-Q, yeah, who are a secret society of mages who use forbidden forms of magic.
Cool.
And they sometimes infiltrate the university. And so I feel like, for sure, they've got to be, like,
from that spies school,
from the dark school. And, like, it's going to turn out in the future, like, what
they're
if there
blue,
were...
blue, black, everybody.
What if there were a bunch of spies also from Strixhaven? Like, what if inside Strixhaven there's a secret, like, society that knows about the other dark version of the school and also has spies over there?
Yes.
Anyways.
Into it.
So we'll talk more about it in the future, okay, but I definitely wanted to point that out because I just think it's cool.
Great. Great. So, like, we didn't do a specific predictions episode for Strixhaven, but consider that a correct prediction, probably. Correct,
like, a long-term prediction. Yes. Someday, we will come back to this plane, and yeah, we'll be at the other school.
So let's talk a little bit about the design of Strixhaven and what went into it, and if you're drafting these guilds or whatever, plain seals these guilds, what you should look
schools,
out for.
Schools, Maria. These colleges.
Colleges. I said
guilds. You cannot call them guilds. You cannot.
This is going to become relevant because them trying to differentiate Strixhaven's colleges from Ravnica's guilds was a huge
obviously
problem.
A huge part of it.
Yeah. So they had some goals for Strixhaven, which was like each college had to have its own field of study, and each one had to feel different than the guild in Ravnica, which I can imagine being extremely challenging because in Ravnica, they've been forever. And also they're like directly aligned with what those colors do. Like basics, like red, white is aggressive.
Yeah.
Black, red is destructive and aggressive, etc. Okay. So they're like, okay, so how can we do this? Let's start off with Silver Quill. This is going to be one where they're like, we have to make a big departure here, right? Because they wanted an aggressive school, of course, for draft, but they didn't want it to be Lorehold, which is Boros colors, because Boros is always aggressive.
It's always the aggro.
And you're like, snooze alert, I don't want that to be the thing again. And it has to be different. So they're like, what if Silver Quill was the aggressive build? So when you're drafting, black, white wants to be aggressive. And this is really different than Orzhov, because Orzhov, if you recall,
is like so slow and grindy.
Very slow.
Gain and drain.
Gain and drain, and, tithe. Yeah. Oh, what a fabulous mechanic.
Love tithe.
Anyway, so their deal is combat magic, because they were like, what if these were kind of like the ROTC kids who are really fast at doing combat magic, because they the way they cast their spells is by saying them.
Yeah.
So other guilds cast their spells differently and they just say them, which is really fast. So you can get somebody really quick because you just said it.
Yeah.
Boom. On your back. Chink. So like that's their deal. And they also wanted to have these be the mean kids of Strixhaven.
No.
Which is unfortunate.
Yeah.
And a lot of people have been complaining on Twitter because they're like, I felt aligned with Strixhaven. Like, I'm a writer. I like to use my words as power. And this is what they do. And now I'm being told that I'm just a jerk.
You're just a mean kid.
You're a mean girl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Plus, there's also been a lot of controversy over on Twitter.
Yeah.
A lot of people in the AAPI community being like, hey, you made that. Like, Killian is a big figure in Silver Quill. And they're like, you used a lot of like very tired, like Asian American tropes.
The tiger mom stereotype situation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like being like beholden to your family and stuff like that. So just go read those, right? I feel like you owe it to people who gave you their time talking about it to go and read it. So go and read it. And if you're a troll in anybody's comments, people are no one are going to come for you.
You heard it here. You're a troll. They're coming for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think it's very disappointing. So,
yeah.
It's very, like, what an easy trope to fall into and an easy one to avoid, right? If you have people who work for you who are aware of this, which is why diversity is so important. And I'm not saying they don't, but I'm just saying, like, this could have been avoided. And it's a little sad to me that we all have, that we have to loop everybody in Silver Quill with being in the mean kids trope. So hopefully we can find some positive aspects of that among the other cards and not just, oh, like, here's a negative thing about, like, because you could have done that for any guild, right? Like, yeah, just all negative. But, like, you know, there's so much dimension. Like, you can lean on a little bit.
There's so much dimension to being mean.
But, like, there, you know, like, let's run the gamut, the spectrum here of everybody in this college. So everybody who doesn't come and be like, oh, my gosh, I'm Silver Quill. I'm so excited. And then they're like, guess what? You're just a mean girl. And they're like, wait, hold on. No, but no. Anyway, so That's the end of our rant on that. Prismari.
Yeah.
So Prismari, you know, the emotions, casting big, beautiful spells, whatever. Their problem was that Blue Red Izzet in Ravnica was also this deal, casting spells.
Yeah.
So they're like, here, we want to focus on presentation over functionality. And the way we're going to do that is by focusing on big spells. So Izzet was casting a lot of small spells, like the thing about Opt, whatever. This is like, hey, we're going to put all of our mana into one big presentation, which I'll... It does make sense. It follows. So I'm going to be curious as to how this plays out, because that's a liability, putting all of your eggs in one basket.
It is.
Right? In limited. So really interested to see.
We'll see what happens.
What the deal is with Prismari.
Yeah. Witherbloom, they talked about, right, it's tough because Golgari, graveyard centric.
Yep.
So they wanted to be focused on life and death, but not about the graveyard.
Oh, that makes sense.
So green, like gaining life, black, spending it. Yeah.
Which reminded me of Orzhov.
Yeah, it does.
But like, whatever. It's now green, black, and it has flying. they also wanted to have a goth clique in the school, which is Witherbloom. And, yeah. You know, this is a clique that we're here for.
Yeah, absolutely.
This makes sense.
This is a good clique.
I'm very excited to see Witherbloom play out in draft two. But my favorite one that they made of all of these is Lorehold.
Yeah, we were talking about how this feels like the biggest departure from this color pair's original Ravnica identity.
Yes, absolutely.
And which I agree. I love it. It's so cool.
I think it's really good.
Yeah, to see them not be, right? It's not aggressive. It's focused on like archaeology and the past and history. Oh, I really like it. It's very cool.
Yeah, I do too. I think this is their biggest win. And they said, how can you love history and not care about the graveyard? Makes sense. So they wanted to focus on the slower, more controlling aspects of red, white, because white has cards that can get stuff out of the graveyard. Red has instant sorceries that you can get back from the graveyard. That's always been true.
Yeah.
And cards like phoenixes, which can get themselves back out of the graveyard.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, well, this is making sense. And they also realized they can care about things leaving the graveyard.
Yeah. Coming back into the history, leaving the past for the present.
Exactly.
Very cool.
Lorehold, A+ in my book.
Yeah. And then Quandrix, math.
Yep.
So there we go.
Math. Yeah, they're like, how are we going to do this without +1/+1 counters? Like, because that's Simic's deal.
Yeah,
and they
but
said,
also math deal.
And math deal. Yeah, what are you going to do? So they're still going to use them.
Yeah.
Initially, interestingly enough, Quandrix was more about going wide, which I think is really weird. That's never a thing that green and blue has particularly done. So instead, they're going to use its resources to make creatures bigger instead of going wide. That was changed later in development. And I think Quandrix is one of the colleges that was like set in stone and then late in the game had changes based on development. So just FYI, Quandrix, biggest moves.
I think one of the coolest things is they talked about how in the past, like each of these guilds had its own mechanic.
Yes.
That it worked around. So what if in the case of Strixhaven, instead of each having their own mechanic, they shared mechanics, but they used them in unique ways.
Exactly. So,
which is just so cool.
I love it. We're just going to touch on two briefly here. The first is Magecraft. So how do you make a thing like Magecraft matter differently between these guilds? For Silver Quill, they say this college is about aggro, so its Magecraft effects tend to pump creatures or give them evasion.
Yeah.
This is the college that's happiest casting multiple instants or sorceries on the same turn.
So you want, it's like stuff that like, if it triggers multiple times, that's going to be good.
Right.
Right? Like if it pumps a creature each time, then it's like, yeah, you can do it many times.
Yeah, love it.
Which is very cool.
Prismari, this is about casting a singular big spell, so the Magecraft effects don't really stack in Prismari.
Yeah.
Like Silver Quill.
And in Witherbloom, it's a lot about like, we were talking about like that gaining life.
Yep.
Gaining or draining life.
In Lorehold, it's got to deal with the graveyard. The graveyard doing a lot of work to encourage spellcasting. And in Quandrix, it's building up big creatures. So it either puts +1/+1 counters on stuff or helps you get resources like land to cast bigger creatures.
Yeah.
Really interesting.
We also know all about like there's the different tokens for each of these.
Yes.
And I love, so this goes back a little bit to some of the lore stuff about this that we were talking about.
Yeah.
These are the mascots of each of these colleges. And I love them. I love the mascots so much. Silverquill is Inklings.
Very cute.
Which are just like these, they're like little, like, weird creatures made of ink.
Made of ink.
Literally made of ink.
2-1 flyers is the token. And they were like, this was originally a gargoyle, but then we changed it to Inklings, which makes so much more sense. Ugh, and it's so much cuter.
It's so cute.
Very cute.
Prismari has big elementals.
Yeah, 4/4s. They originally 3/3s, and then they're like, no, these got to be 4/4s.
Even bigger. Bump them up.
Crank it up. Crank it up. Cast big spells, make a 4/4.
Ugh. Witherbloom,
the best,
the cutest,
the best one.
The like sketch of all of the different ones together.
The pests.
I passed out. It was so cute.
These are ones that when they die, you gain a life.
And they're so
cute.
It's absurd.
They were originally like called grubs.
That has a bunch of legs, but its legs don't even touch the ground. Its legs don't even touch the ground.
We love the pests.
Lorehold, it has these like cool statue spirits.
Love them.
Which are 3/2s,
which is pretty big, which makes sense. More controlling, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. And then Quandrix has fractals, which just look very cool.
Beautiful art.
It looks like a wolf made out of glass.
I love it.
But also air.
I love it. There's 0/0s and you put counters on them.
Yeah.
The tokens, I think, is really neat. And I love that they're kind of the mascot. And I want to see somebody in a grub. Excuse me. Pest costume. What is the grub pest? God. What does the pest mascot look like when it's out on the... What was it?
On the mage tower.
Mage tower field. Like, go Witherbloom. Go Witherbloom.
Cute.
I love it.
Yeah. We have some mechanics that didn't make it.
What?
Flashback.
Oh.
Which I think you could easily see in this.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
For sure.
Everybody's favorite mechanic.
Flashback. Great.
Everyone really loves good flashback. Stuff. Everything is flashback.
But I get it, right? There's a whole bunch of other stuff going on in here. And then they also, it's being called scrolls, which I love in concept. And I really hope that we see in the future.
Yeah.
Which are artifact tokens that could hold an instant or sorcery on them. And then you sacrifice it to cast.
Yeah. And so this was kind of going to be a way that famous spells from Magic's past could have been used, because they said other cards made scrolls with spells, usually famous ones from Magic's past, are already inside them.
Yeah. Oh, really. So it's cool.
Like, here's your scroll, and inside is a ponder. I don't know what, but like,
Very cool. And it seems like this is probably like the mystical archive is what got added instead.
Yep.
But I hope that we see something like scrolls in the future.
We like them. Put them in
it
a
set. It sounds really cool. Even as its own mechanic of like not ones from Magic's history, but like, I don't know, just something that makes like a spell that like makes 4 scrolls and then each of the scroll isn't like an opt. So you have to spend more mana to do it, but you're getting more instances of it.
I love it.
There you go, Wizards. That one's free.
That's free. That's free. Call us anytime for more. So I'm super excited for this.
Same.
Seems great. We're going to be checking out the pre-release with Loading Ready Run this weekend. Streamer event next Wednesday, etc., etc. Strixhaven.
Yeah. And I will just say one more time, like, even if someone is bringing a criticism to the forefront that you did not realize, and you're like, I don't want to listen to this because it's a bummer on my enjoyment of this set, you need to listen. Just listen.
Yeah. Let's talk about Ultra Pro for a hot second, because they've got some really exciting deal we want to tell you about.
Oh, yes. So obviously, we've seen all of the Mystical Archive now, and it looks so good.
Obsessed.
And they have it so that you can pre-order all of the month of April the limited edition playmats of the Mystical Archive art. And you can pick literally
any of them. Which one do you want to playmat?
Any of them.
Boom, they've got it.
Which is just incredible.
Yeah, I love
it. Like, what a selection. And if you think about it, it's like, I just can't, like...
It's so much
great art. Exactly. And it's so many of them. And of course, they went out of their way to think, like, how could we do it so that no matter which of these arts you love, you're going to be able to get it on a playmat? Because that's what Ultra Pro does. They want to help you celebrate the art that you love in Magic.
100%. So no matter which one you want, they are going to make it to order.
Yes.
So that it is specifically created for you. Go in and choose, and they'll print it for you. $25.
Look, I don't know. I don't know that I need another playmat in my life, but I also don't know how I don't get the grape shovel.
Right?
Like, it's so incredible.
I don't know how I don't get the opt one.
Yeah, it's, there's so much cool art, and Ultra Pro always looking out for you, and helping you make sure that you get that sweet, sweet art, on a playmat so you can look at it all the time.
Absolutely.
So head on over there, and pre-order whichever is your absolute favorite.
Yeah. If you want to know how to find this, just follow at Ultra Pro INTL. That's their international. That's their Twitter handle. They've got a link out there for, that they tweeted a couple of days ago. We've also linked to their website in our show notes. You can probably find it there as well. But yeah, check these out. Get them before they're gone. What a great idea.
Oh, so cool.
Ultra Pro. Well, everybody, that's this episode of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. Thank you again to everyone who makes this possible by being a patron over at patreon.com/GLHFmagic. It really does mean the world to us that you're keeping the show on the air, in the air. It is the air.
It is the air.
Which we learned.
Coming out of your dogs, but if you want your name read, becoming a patron before our next episode, we'll give you a special shout on the show because we do love you.
So much. Thank you to our sponsors, Card Kingdom and Ultra Pro, just two really wonderful companies that we could not be more proud to be partnered with.
Absolutely. Check out our YouTube channel this Wednesday, youtube.com/goodluckhigh5 for a video of our box opening of Time Spiral.
And you all, it is a good one, okay? Listen.
All we can say is we said probably 20 times during the filming of it, this is so stupid.
This is so, it is so dumb.
And so worth it.
And so worth it. So please go watch that Time Spiral remastered opening.
You gotta watch it. It is good. It's really good. Thank you, everybody. Check out pre-release this weekend. Judge Rob episode next week.
Woo!
You love Judge Rob. He's coming on the show.
Life's a party, man. So get out there and rock it.
Come to my party for juniors at Strixhaven. We're going to cast some spells.
Oh, yeah.
That are illegal.
Oh, tell the teens.